With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. In Antigo, Williams House of Hope has been making progress in the community. WXPR's Hannah Davis Reed talked to the homeless shelter's director for an update.
After William Billy DeHart, a local man, passed away from exposure in an Antigo park in January, community members vowed to create a shelter so that homelessness would no longer be a barrier to achieving one's potential. They created Williams House of Hope, which has been operating for the past few months. Nicole Barron is the organization's president.
The need in our area has increased.
Even though they haven't opened the physical shelter yet, she said they're currently servicing around 150 people that are homeless or at risk of losing their home.
Our numbers would actually be higher, but because of the purchase of the building, we put a pause on our monetary assistance. So we were referring individuals out for assistance, but we are going to open that back up again. So those numbers will definitely increase.
Williams House of Hope provides emergency housing, vocational training to enhance people's employability, and they connect folks with resources like mental health providers or substance abuse counselors. People on probation can't stay at the physical shelter once it's up and running, but they can still find assistance with hotel vouchers, case managers, and wraparound services. They're hosting a ribbon-cutting ceremony for their physical shelter on October 22nd. Their shelter and new thrift store are projected to open on November 1st, but Barron said the thrift store might open earlier since they've received so many donations. There has been some opposition to the shelter. Carl's Transportation, a trucking company in Antigo, put up a sign that said, "No homeless shelter." We reached out to Carl's, but did not hear back before publication. Barron says she welcomes the opposition. She said its intentions are malicious, but that it's been a blessing in disguise. Barron says that opposition has brought new donors from across the country to the organization. For WXPR News, I'm Hannah Davis Reed.
One person is dead and several people hurt after an apartment fire in Marathon County early Monday morning. The Wisconsin Department of Justice is investigating. Riverside Fire District responded to a fire in an apartment complex on Grand Avenue in Schofield around 4:40 Monday morning. Several adults were injured. One was taken to the hospital. One person was found dead. The State Fire Marshal's Office is leading the investigation into the cause and origin of the fire. The Department of Justice says the nature of fire investigations requires significant time to reach a final determination. This weekend's rain helped lower the fire danger slightly, but there is still a high risk for wildfires across most of the state. 24 wildfires have burned more than 30 acres in the past week. Several of those fires were in Vilas County, burning a little more than an acre there. One of the largest fires was at Rochecree State Park in Adams County. Firefighters have contained it at 6.5 acres. The park's main gate is closed for the season, and the property is closed to the public until further notice. The stairway has been damaged, and fire crews continue to work in the park. The Wisconsin DNR reminds people to check fire danger levels before they burn. The Wausau City Council tonight will discuss a plan for extra security around the city's municipal drop box. Mike Leishner explains.
The box was installed outside City Hall last week after Mayor Doug Denny wheeled it into his office in late September, noting it wasn't secured to the sidewalk and anyone could have walked off with it. Clerk Caitlin Bernardi noted she intended to have the box secured and opened to accept documents, payments, and ballots during election season. Fast forward to last week, and the box is bolted down and open for use. Tonight, Alders will consider spending $3,000 for extra security, including a floodlight and a new camera on the front door of City Hall, which is at the end of its life and was due for replacement anyway. Tonight's meeting begins at 6:30 at City Hall. Public comment is part of the agenda.
That was Mike Leishner reporting. The park road at Council Ground State Park in Merrill will be closed next week for a bridge replacement project. The closure is expected to last about 2 weeks, starting Monday, October 14th. The boat landing, beach, and enclosed shelter located within the park will be closed to all vehicle traffic for the duration of the project. The park road will also be closed to pedestrian and non-motorized vehicle access. Visitors who plan to hike at the park should use the property's trails. People are advised to avoid the construction area. Access to campgrounds will not be impacted, but campers can expect to hear some noise from the project. Farmers in Wisconsin and elsewhere will make less money this year. The United States Department of Agriculture farm income forecast breaks down the projected cost of growth and profit of the harvest. The forecast shows a 4.4% decline, a drop in demand for household produce, a wet early summer that made fields tough to grow in, and struggles to find farm workers all likely contributed. Jim Okray is president of Okray Family Farms.
I don't know what the answer is. It's tough to find labor. That's probably a number one issue for farms. If you're a small farm that have family members that want to work on the farm, that's certainly helpful. But I think right now labor is probably the number one issue when it comes to farming and being able to find people to work on the farm.
Experts in agriculture and economics say the ups and downs are all just a part of being a farmer. Many farmers say they're worried about smaller farms, while the bigger ones will likely survive. This story is courtesy of WAOW Television. States are required to conduct regular voter list maintenance to ensure the rolls are accurate. But a new Michigan State University study suggests the process in Michigan may disproportionately target underrepresented and lower-income communities. Mark Richardson reports.
Purging voter rolls typically means removing inactive voters or those who have died or relocated. The MSU analysis of over 175,000 voters dropped between 2014 and 2018 found higher purge rates in cities and among Black voters and registered Democrats. Assistant Professor Tom Wojciechowski says during that time period, Michigan had a Republican majority in its legislature.
We found that having a greater proportion of Black residents in certain communities was associated with greater rates of voter purge. So there was a statistical relationship right there that says, okay, there's a racial disparity in voter purging going on.
The researchers agree the purging practice is necessary, but could lend itself to voter disenfranchisement, especially for inactive voters. The study was prompted by the group Michigan Faith in Action. I'm Mark Richardson.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.